Okay, we are in Daf Chof Hey Omer Aleph. Kumulan and Ablat Gemara, Daf Chof Hey Omer Aleph. And again, let's hope that in this chus of our learning and everybody else's learning, Klal Yisrael has no more chaylim. And all the more chaylim on the Srapa straight away. Okay, we are in the middle of talking about why you cannot light or burn kachim on Yom Tov. And for the same matter, Truma as well, Truma Tmeya on Yom Tov. So the last thing we look at Rav Ashi, who says that Yom Tov, even though there's mitzvah say of burning, so L'chayda, you would think you'd be able to do it on Yom Tov as well. So we said that the Asay of Yom Tov has a lav and an Asay. Mitzvah say to rest, a lav of doing malacha, and one, a single Asay cannot push away a loisase and Asay together. So wrote the two lines from the top. So you're telling me be Yom Tov with Asa, so on Yom Tov you're not allowed to light the Truma, the Tmeya. Habachol Shapadami. But during the week, you're allowed to light it, not only you have a mitzvah, but you're also permitted to have Hana from the Truma Tmeya that you're burning. The oil, let's say, that you're burning, you use the light. My timer, why can you have Hana? Omar Rav, says Rav, Kishem Shemitzvah Lisef HaKotchim Shenitmum. Just like there's a mitzvah to burn to a kachim that became tameh, kach so too mitzvah. There's a mitzvah lisreif as a truma shnit mas. If you have truma that became tameh, you also have a mitzvah to burn it. And the Torah says that while you're burning, when it comes to truma tameh as opposed to kachim that is tameh, that tehena mimena, that you're permitted to have hana from truma. So if you have truma, that's tamei, and when you're burning it, you can have the right benefit. Mashain came by kachim, you can't. Says the Gemara, heichan amra Torah. Where does the Torah say, when it comes to truma tamei, I grant you permission to have a nobish as maisa? Says the Gemara, Rachman. It's a statement from Nachman. Rachman said, amra barabu, amakro. It says in the Pasuk, Hashem says to Aaron, v'hanei hinei nesatcho, I gave to you. To you means to your benefit. Es mishmeles trumoisai, to guard my trumois. So obviously the truma tahira, pure truma, the kohen receives and he eats it and so on. So that's obviously for him. But what's this other truma? It's in plural. Seems to be there's another truma involved as well. And lecha, it's yours to enjoy. Two kinds of trumas. What are two kinds of trumas? Achas truma tahira and achas truma tmeya. One is truma which is pure and one is truma which is contaminated. These are the two trumas. I want you to watch both of them. And Amar Achmana, the Torah says, L'cha to you, sh'l'cha tehei. It should be yours. What means you yours? What way is it yours? You have to burn it. L'hasika tachas tavshilcha. That you can burn it and enjoy it while you're burning it. For example, use it to cook your food. And why do you have to burn it? So Rashi gives two reasons why you have to burn it. One is because it's similar to Kodesh. So it sounds like it's Mahatera. And the other one is because we don't want to have it in your house, leave it around in your house. It might come to be challenged. Be a takola, you'll stumble and you will eat it. So that sounds more like it's drabonos astasis, or even it's matayda. But the difference is between these two reasons: whether you have to burn it or any, you can destroy it any way you want. Because if the primary objective is to make sure you don't have it around the house, then it doesn't necessarily have to be a fire. You can destroy it in other ways, and you'll be yaitzi yemitzah. That's what tasis learned pshat Rashi. So that's one pasuk from Vani. Ibai same as another pasuk. When you buy maestres, you do vidui and you say over there, I did not in any way destroy the maestres sheni, but tame while I was tame, or whether the maestres was tame. So it sounds like mimenu I atamavir. That only the maestres you shouldn't burn. Avol atamavir shema shel truma shenit mas. But you could burn, but you do burn Shema Shatruma became Tame, and you could have Hana from it. Says the Gemara, how do we know that? Okay, so this means that the Truma Tmeya, Maisa Sheni, you can, Truma Tmeya, you can. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? We dashed the word mimenu. Mimenu yet the mavid of the mavid shema shatruma shet mas. Rebbe says, well, how do you know to include or to say that shema truma is different? That you're allowed to have a no while you're burning it. Rebbe, why don't we say Maybe Darshan as follows. Mi menu, from Maisa Sheni, you cannot have any benefit. But Yatamavi, you're not allowed to burn and use it for your own benefit. Aval Atamavi Shem Mishal Kodesh in it. But maybe it comes to tell you that oil from Kodeshim, you're allowed to have Hana while you're burning it. How do you know to suggest that it's only Truma? Says the Gemara, Lav Kavu Chaymeru. It wasn't a Kavu Chaymer, because Kodesh is stricter than Maisa. And if Ma Maisa Rakal, Madar Maisa Sheni, which is lenient in comparison to Kodesh, Amru Teiru Lebiati Menebetome, and I'll have any benefit from it while I'm burning it. Kodesh Chomer, when it comes to Kachim, which is far stricter, like Koshkin, surely. Surely, then what? That you don't have any benefit. Says the Gemara, if that's your whole logic, Truma is also stricter than Maisa Sheni. So why Truma, you're allowed to have benefit? Truma also stricter than Maisa Sheni. So say it's a Kavu Chaymer, you cannot have any benefit from the Truma Tumei as well. So the Gemara, but the problem is, Hoksiv Mimenu. I have a Pasik Mimenu that seems to stress that only Maisa Sheni you can't, but from something else you can. So I have a Kavu Chaymer that says stricter things than Maisa Sheni you should be unable to have any benefit. I have the word Mimenu telling me that one, that limiting to Maisa Sheni, but other things you could. So therefore I decided that Truma is permitted and Kotchim is not permitted. Ask the Gemara Mara'is, why did you deem it so? Mistabra, it doesn't make sense that Kodesh, Loime Matina, you think that Kodesh is very strict, because there's a number of factors in Kodesh that are stricter than other things. Shekain, Simon, I'll give you the Simon. Pagag Akas, what does it stand for? Pigul. You have a law of Pigul by Kochim, which you don't have in other things. Pigul is, the way Rashi learns, that Pigul means you had a mind to eat at the wrong date. For example, Karmash Shlomim, you only allowed to eat it for 2 days and one night. You had a mind to eat it for 3 days. And even though physically you only ate it within the time, it's already Asr and you chayv Karis. And Noise is physically, you actually left the animal, you ate it after the due date, after the date, whatever the time is, the animal is no longer, the carb is no longer be eaten. Like Shlomim, 2 days and one night, or Toyder, 1 day and one night, and so on. Toyser learns that Pigul means you had a mind Chutzla Mekoymai, and Noisa means you had a mind Chutzla Zmani. No, if you had a mind, Pigul means you had a mind to eat it outside of Shalayim or outside the base of Mikdash, depending if it's Kachim, 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 Kalim, and even though you ate in the right place, that's also Zalav, and Noisa means you had a mind the wrong date. Then you have carbon, the fact that it's called a carbon. Then you have Me'ila. If you use it for your own benefit, you're stealing from the base of Mikdash, you have to bring a carbon Me'ila, and so on and so forth. Then you have karas. If anybody eats kochim and you're not allowed to eat kochim, you chayiv karas. And what is it? An oinen, a koyin, a close relative who passed away, that he has to be an oinen for, he's not allowed to eat any kochim. And when do you get karas for kochim? Is if you ate kochim while you were tummy. If you ate truma while you're tummy, you get misa b'dei shemayim. And misa b'dei shemayim is less than karas. Karas. Some say Karis is 50 years old, the Rishalmi says, and Misa de Shemayim is 60 years old. Rashi says Karis is a double punishment. Not only do you die prematurely, but also you lose Chas V'Sholom, your children. Misa de Shemayim is you only die early. And Tesis has a different shot there. Misa de Shemayim has no fixed time. Just you die early. So we have all of these variables, all of these laws, where we see how Kachim, Chumra V'Kachim exceeds anything else. Adrab, I'll point out to you that Truma also has certain laws that are stricter than anywhere else. Truma La'Marita, we should not exclude Truma either. It's far stricter than the Maisa Sheni Shekain. For example, the word Machpaz. What does the word Machpaz stand for? Simon stands for Misa. You get Misa De Shemaim. If somebody eats Truma that is not entitled to, you get Misa De Shemaim or a Koyin Tomei. Chomish, if you ate Truma belongs to a Koyin, not only do you have to pay back the principal, you also have to pay back a fifth as well. And by Kodesh, once Koinim allowed to eat it, it's no longer Me'ila, then you don't pay any more penalty. By Me'ila you do pay, but once Koinim allowed to eat it, there's no longer Me'ila anymore. No longer a penalty. And the Ein La Pidyon, by Korbanos, it became the Mum. You can redeem it. By Shenge Truma, even becomes Tami, whatever, there's no redemption. And Rasud Al Zarim. That a Yisrael can never eat Truma. Mashenge by Kabbanis, there are Kabbanis that Yisrael can eat, for example, the Shlamim. Maise Behemoth, tell you know that. So the Gemara says, you're right, Truma has a number of Chumras, but Hanach Nefishin, the Chumras that you apply to carbon is far, the number is greater than by Truma. Or Iboyi say, or I can tell you that Kodesh Chum, I don't care about the number, it's the quality. The Chumra of Kodesh is far stricter than Maise, than Truma, she came Anush Kodesh. Kodesh, getting cut off from our people is far worse than the Mitzvah B'dei Shemayim. because Kairos is also, besides the fact that the punishment is harsher, that you lose your children as well, as Rashi says, there are two punishments, but also because Kairos is spiritually, you get cut off from the Eibishter, which you don't find by other things. So therefore, it's far stricter. It says the Gemara, okay, Rabbi Shmuel says, do not use itron, which is the refuse of tar, do not use it for candle lighting. Someone else wants, why not? My timer, why not? Omer Rosh Rabbi, know why? Metrech Sherechera, it has bad odor. Is Gzeda, we are worried. Shema Yanichena the Yetze. You'll walk away from the room where the candle is burning. Omele Bai the Yetze. Who cares you walk out of the room? So what? Omele, he says, Shani Omer, I say, had luck as Nebe Shabbos, Chayva, you have to light a candle on Shabbos. So what's wrong? So what's the answer? So I'll light a candle, but you walk out of the room. So what Tosafot explains is, it means, the word missing here, lighting a candle and eating your meal on Shabbos. The mitzvah is to have candlelight by your table on Shabbos. Actually, the Zohar says the candlelight should not be on the table, it should be on the buffet next to the table. But many have it on the table itself. Now, why is it a chayv? Says, Machlek is Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says this comes under the banner of covered Shabbos. That it's not a really covered kasuda. If you have really a dignified meal, you always have candlelight dinners. Tosafot says it has to do with Oynig Shabbos. That is, it gives you pleasure on Shabbos, and pleasure is you can see what you eat and so on. And if you don't, it's missing out on pleasure. And there's nafka minis lahalacha if the mitzvah is to covered or has to do with Oynig Shabbos. Because technically, if it's Oynig Shabbos and it was already had candles burning, you don't have to light it again. But if it's covered, you have to do an act, l'covered Shabbos. The Vilna Gaon says the difference between covered and Oynig Shabbos is that covered Shabbos, are all the mitzvahs you have to do before Shabbos for the Shabbos. Oynig Shabbos and mitzvahs you do on Shabbos. So even with candle lighting, if the main thing is the lighting of the candle, the main thing is the benefit from the light that you have afterwards. Because covered, the main thing is the lighting itself, because that's the act of covered Shabbos, and then it continues the covered while you're eating, because you're now proactively eating where the candles are. Oynig is mainly, even though you have to light the candles first, but the main thing is the light, the burning afterwards. And there's a big machlekes Rishonim if you make a bracha lighting the candles, because the Gemara uses the word yechoyve. We find the same expression by mayim acharonim, and we don't make a bracha mayim acharonim. And Tosafot says mayim acharonim is different. That's to avoid a sakana. We had about that salt from Zdoim, and therefore on a sakana you don't make a bracha. And everyone asks the question that how come by Micah, the Rambam says you make a bracha. Isn't the whole purpose of a fence around your roof to make sure that nobody falls? So the Baba Sheva answers that the Rambam actually holds us two mitzvahs. One is to build a mikveh, and the second thing is to avoid people falling. So there's the mitzvah of mikveh itself, and for that's what you make a bracha. And the Rabbeinu Tam brings further that even though if the candle was burning, you don't have to light it again, because many hold that if Oynig Shabbos, if you had already a candle, you don't have to light it again. Or you're now eating by the candles. But he says, nevertheless, if you did light it, you still make a bracha. And he proves it from Kisei Adam. If the wind covers the blood that you shechted a chicken with, you don't have to cover the blood. But if there's no wind and you have physically covered it, you still make a bracha. And then Rabbeinu Tam goes further and he says, even if you had candles, you have to extinguish it and relight it, because you have to light it for Shabbos as well. He seems to hold that even if it's oynig, you still have to do an act of oynig before Shabbos. And the Gemara continues. So we have three reasons for lighting candles. We had yesterday Shalom Bayis, and today we have the two additional ones of Oynig and Covered. And Shalom brings all three. Washing your hands and feet Erev Shabbos, that is Rishus. I say it's more than Rishus, it's a mitzvah. So you have 3 degrees. You have Chayva, which means it's mandatory. You have then mitzvah, like washing your hands is a mitzvah. It's highly recommended. And you're doing a mitzvah, but it's not obligatory like a chayva. Then you have reshus, which means it's optional. My mitzvah, what does it mean mitzvah? Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rav, kach yimin hagish Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. This was the custom of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi al erev Shabbos. Mevi'im lo arevim lo yechamin. They used to bring him a whole vat full of water, a bowl full of water, hot water, v'roichit ponav yoda v'raglav. He used to wash his hands and face, and his feet, his hands and feet and his face. Umis'atev, and he would wrap himself around. V'yoyishev, he would sit there besayit didin ha-metziyorin, sit there with all these linen regarding Tziyotim that had tzitzis on them, the doimel le malach Hashem tzvokas, and his face shone like a malach, like a malach. this is the basis. You have the Arizal. You have other Gedolei Yisrael who would on Friday night they would go outside to greet the Shabbos in the fields, and they would dress up and wrap themselves the talis. Talmidim mechabin mimenu kanfek susan. His students hid from Rabbi Yehuda the corners of their begodim because they didn't have basidim and why. As if they didn't have tzitzis. No, they wore linen. Linen big mitzvah begodim. Rabbi Yehuda had tzitzis on them. That tzitzis requires, you know, in addition tchelis, which is the blue wool, and that was klein. Rabbi Yehuda had that, but the students, machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, whether the students had no tzitzis on theirs at all, or they had tzitzis but not wool. The thing was that Beis Shammai, having wool and linen is a klaim, but we hold that it says gedilim tasalucha. Right after the pasuk where it says don't have klaim, so we say, well, the Torah puts the two together to tell you, but tzitzis is an exception. There you're allowed to have klaim, but Beis Shammai doesn't believe in smuchin. So according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to wear tzitzis. So it sounds like the students are following Beis Shammai. They had no tchelis or no tzitzis at all because it's klaim, or they had tzitzis but they wore the same min. In other words, they had strings from linen. They did not have the wool on it. And the reason why they didn't wear we'll see in a minute, is not because they felt like Bishamai, because of Gzeira de Rabban. So this is what he told him. He thought that they were all following Shammai. Amalan Bonai. Lekach Shanisham did not tell you that Sadim Betzitzis, when it comes to Tzitzis Bishamai, Poit Bishamai says you're exempt. And this is what bothers Tosfos. If we're talking about that you're not allowed to have one linen's client, what do you mean Poit is exempt? It should say Asa. More than just exempt, which sounds like the Beis Shammai also agrees the latter word klein, because we also had a rule that even Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't believe in smuchin, but in Parshas Dvarim, in Chumash Dvarim, he does believe in smuchin. That doesn't necessarily mean Beis Shammai does, but Tosfos understood that Shammai is the same thing, that also agrees to smuchin, so he holds the latter klein. But Shammai was worried, midrabbanon, he didn't want you to wear tzitzis, because what happens if you wear it at night, or what happens if it tears? And then you're wearing klein without a particular mitzvah. So therefore he uses the word poitrin. That's a taste of it. And the halacha will be like Beis Shammai in this instance. And Beis Hillel is mechayvin, even in this case, he's not gozer either that it might tear or that you might wear it at night. The halacha is every Beis Hillel. So he's asking the students, isn't halacha Beis Hillel? Why aren't you wearing tzitzis? Or why aren't you wearing wool? Tchelis. Ve'inu savi, they hold gzeidem reshim ksus laila. They felt that it's a gzeidem because of the ksus of the night. Big machlek is a shiny, what exactly does that mean? Ksus laila, you can learn two ways. One is, a dedicated garment that you wear at night, pajamas. And that ksus yoim requires tzitzis. And I don't care when you wear the ksus yoim, but day or by night, it has to wear tzitzis. And ksus laila, I don't care when you wear it, if it's generally dedicated for the night, even if you wear it by day, you don't have to wear tzitzis. That's one way of learning. Another way of learning is day means literally daytime. I don't care what you're wearing by day, always chayiv tzitzis, even night garments. And night means at night, physically at night, yurisa moisa means at night you are potter. And therefore, I don't care what you're wearing, at night you're always potter. Shulchan Aruch, from the few exceptions, there are a few, but this is one of them, that Shulchan Aruch says, we don't know, it's a machlokes Rambam and the Rosh, we don't know who to paskin like. So we're machmer like both. That's one of the reasons why you wear tzitzis at night, because according to one opinion, you're doing a mitzvah ha-teira. You're doing a mitzvah ha-teira, because a day beged, even at night, you're chayim at tzitzis ha-teira. And that's why you wear it at night. And the other opinion just says it's mutter. There's one opinion that Tosfos read who actually holds your eva bal Tosef if you're wearing tzitzit at night. But it's not even brought in halacha anywhere. In Tshuva Zarid. Okay. And the fact that some people are machmir even that a blanket should have tzitzit as well. Because it says a shetachas, you wrap yourself around with. And if it's square, that's why we try to have rounded off corners, because you're sleeping into the day. And we said that by day, anything you have requires tzitzis. Anyway, so Paschal Al Rebbe in the Siddur. Says in the Pasuk further, Yimi was talking about this, all the terrible tragedies that happened after the Churban that he personally was suffering. And one of the things he said was that Tiznach Meshom Nashi, I've given up of ever having peace to my nefesh, Nashisi Toiv, I forgot even what good was like. Now it sounds like he's not talking about a one-off event. It sounds like the rest of his life. Ma'iva tiznik m'shom nashi. The rest of his life he won't have shalom. Omer Abavuzot lokanei b'Shabbos. That's talking about lighting candles on Shabbos that he no longer can afford to have oil and wicks and so on to be able to light candles on Shabbos. And why? Because remember the reason we learned yesterday was that the purpose of lighting candles is also shalom bayis. And he won't have shalom bayis. Well, that's what he's saying, shalom. So we have, this is the third reason for lighting candles. Nashisi Toiva forgot good. What do you mean? Omar Abima, what do you mean good? Zubeis HaMerchitz. He had no longer any access to a bathhouse. Rabbi Yechiel says, Zulchitzes Yudayim Reglayim B'chamin. That's washing hands and feet in hot water. Rabbi Yitzchak Nachama, Zumitano, having a comfortable bed, V'keli Noyim, Shalah, and having nice linen and all that on it. Rabbi Abba said, this is all like an allegory. Zumitam Mutzas, having a made bed, and the Isha Mikushetas, and a woman that is dressed up, Latamid Chachamim, suitable, fitting the Talmid Chacham, which means we're not talking about physically dressing up, we mean in her midas Tavis. So, talking about that, we learned Eza Usher, who is considered a wealthy man. Rashi said that the Nafkamina is, someone should pursue this. Others say Nafkamina is if a man says to a wife, I'm marrying you on the condition that I'm a rich man. So the Mishnah in Kedushin, the Nafkamina test says, you know, if he's not rich, the whole thing falls apart. And we take we learn literally that you have to be wealthy. Here the Gemara says there might be other interpretation of what a rich man is. And basically each one said what he had, that he felt he was rich. Simon Matkas, these are names of these people. He's happy his lot. Divrei Rameir. He doesn't care what his lot is, and they bring him Marishamli, where Rameir seems that he had very little, and he gave a third of whatever he had to the doctor anyway, even though he had very, very little. So that's what he says. Rab Tarfon says, a rich man, so he said, Kol she yesh le kuf kromim, umeya sadas, ve kuf avadim, he has 100 vineyards, 100 fields, and 100 servants, so ev deben that service. What he's trying to say is, he had a lot of money, but he's trying to say is, there's a thing that a person, ain't odd mess with chatzit havasa biyade, a person does not die with half of his goals, in other words, no matter how much you have, you always want more, and he's telling you, even if you're rich, stop. You know, there's a limit. You don't have to continue to pursue, become richer and richer. And that's enough. Rabbi Kiva, who married the daughter of Kalba Savor, who was a very rich man, and she was prepared to give it all up. And if you remember the Gemara, well, we'll learn the Gemara in the Durim, the poverty that they both endured. They couldn't afford anything. And Rabbi Kiva, because of her, Rabbi Kiva became the great Rabbi Kiva that we know. He said, Kol sheyesh l'isha nob b'maisim. He has a beautiful wife, and I don't mean beautiful wife in just physically, I mean beautiful wife that her deeds, because she gave everything up so that he could learn Torah. That's a rich man. He said, I feel like I'm the richest man. And Rabbi Yossi says, Kol sheyesh l'beisakise samach l'shachonai. Rabbi Yossi said, anybody has a bathroom next to his table, because he once said that, I wish my chelik is amongst all those people, because many Tanoim had problems with their bowels and so on. The diet was terrible. He said, I wish I suffered like them so I don't have tshuva. So now he's saying the ideal form of therapy is not once you're sick to be cured, it's chatzchil not to be sick. Remember we had the Gemara in Brachas there that his rabbi said, Rabbi Yochanan said he had 24 toilets. I think Rabbi Yochanan had 24 toilets in his house and his final destination, and he stopped in each one. So that prevents sicknesses. That's the ideal kind of an usher. My grandmother used to say that an usher is a usher tevis. Ayin shin yud reis. Ayin is a naim, your eyes. Shin is shenayim, your teeth. And yud is your daim, your hands and eidr glaim. If you have all of your own body parts and you're healthy, you're the greatest usher of them all. And the chiddush word is, in Pirkei Avos, the wording of Ramei, it is, instead of just kol sheyesh of nachas ruach, it says, eiz usher sameach b'chelkoi. So since Masechta Avos is all about, you know, chiddush, so milu de chassidusa, so the chiddush word is, not that he's happy in his own share. He's happy in someone else's share. If he sees someone else very successful, even though he himself is not, he's very happy for that person, and that person can make money. So maybe he learns how to allow another person to be successful and not to be envious or greed and so on. Anything more continues. Tanu Lev Shem Elazar Oimer. Ein Madlikim B'Tzori. You should not light with Tzori with balsamic. My timer was the reason. Amar Rabba Metech Shereich Neidiv has such a beautiful fragrance. Gzeida, we are worried that on Shabbos, Shemi is topic menu. You might take some oil. And by taking some oil, you're being mechaba. You're causing the candle to be extinguished earlier because you're taking out some of the oil. And that's one Issa that Issa. So that's why we don't use something which is too nice. Amar Le Abaye says Abaye. Lema mar, there's another reason why you shouldn't use it. Mibneshu off, it burns, balsam burns very easily, and it flies around the place, and it splinters, and it'll be attracted to the wall, and then it can set your house on fire if you have a wooden cottage. So, you're right. We're giving two reasons. Chodem neshu off, we are worried that it might attach itself to the house and it'll burn. And Taisha says, so what's the problem? The problem is that you're constantly so worried that maybe a house will burn, that there's a possibility that you might extinguish it or something. And another example is, Shema Yistapik Mimenu. You might use some of it on Shabbos, you'll be over the Iser of Mechaba, of extinguishing Shabbos. Gemara tells a story to demonstrate this point. Ahicham, not a very nice story. Ahicham also, there was a mother-in-law. There was a mother-in-law that hated her daughter-in-law, which happens sometimes. Amrulay, she said to her daughter-in-law, Zeal, why don't you go and ikshit be mishcha da farsima? Why don't you go and put on your perfumes of balsamic? Also, she went. She was an obedient daughter-in-law, and she went to follow, to abide to her mother-in-law's wishes. Also, she went. And ikshit, she went and she put on all of these perfumes. Ki osas, when she came, Omrullah, the mother-in-law said, she's obviously a cruel, evil woman, Zeal itle shraga, why don't you go and light a candle and hang it up? Ozla, she went, itle shraga, she hung it up. Infir bonoida, the fire jumped to the piece of balsamic she had on her, v'achalte, and she was burnt, and she was consumed. So we see how combustible it is, and how careful you have to be. And let's finish Gemara here. And the Pasuk says here, that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, he left some Yidden behind in Eretz Yisrael, very few. Umidalei Sa'aretz, he allowed some of the poor people to live in Eretz Yisrael. He should, he allowed Muzradon Rav Tavachim, Muzradon, that butcher, the executioner, he allowed Lekarmim, which literally means those who take care of the grapes, V'layogvim, and those who press the grapes. Now, L'chayda, why punk these two professions? So the Gemara is going to learn it means something else. Karmim means those who gather. Tana B'Yosef, Eile Malakte Afarsman. These are people who gather these balsam, and Ein Gedi Vad Ramsa, from Ein Gedi over to Ramsa, he wanted them, because they're, I guess, a luxury, and he wanted them to bring them to him. And Yoigvim, who are these Yoigvim? Those are pressed grapes. What do they do? Tzayode Chalazan. These are people who knew how to find the Chalazan, to extract its blood. Mesolonas Atsur. Shaltsur Ad Chayfa. From the steps of the mountain there, from Tyre all the way down to Haifa, and it's a trick, or it's a skill to get the chalazon and to extract the blood, and they used that particular blood. So these vatchelis, they used it for their royal garments. So therefore, he left these two professions, and that's all. So there were very, very few Eden left. According to the Ramban, most of the Eden came back to Eretz Yisrael by the story of Purim. Most of the Eden already lived in Eretz Yisrael. In the beginning of Megillah, a very interesting Ramban, while the Ran and everybody else learns that the Eden still did not venture to Eretz Yisrael, they remained in Babel until many years after Ezra made his first Aliyah, or second Aliyah, to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we will stop here and continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.